Welcome to the Uplifters podcast, where we talk to inspiring women who are doing big, brave things so that we can collectively do bigger, braver things by learning from each other. Today, I am so excited to talk to Carrie Davidson, who was nominated by the amazing Teresa DeMasi. Carrie is the author of The Five Archetypes, the founder of Harman Labs. She has been hired by all sorts of powerhouse organizations, Microsoft, Starbucks, you know, Tony Robbins, no big deal, to solve the relationship challenges that stall progress in big, complex settings. The frustrating cycles of miscommunication, broken trust, and patterns that just won't budge often get so freaking big that we just abandon them and accept them as fact, and we stop trying. And in Carrie's work, she gives us a framework and a roadmap for actually getting in and maybe easily and simply finding a way through the most tangled webs. Her approach is so cool because it blends cutting-edge neuroscience, behavioral science, which, you know, I spend all day, every day talking about and thinking about, you know, and then blends it with 5,000 years of ancient wisdom. Again, no big deal. I'm so excited to share Carrie's work with you today, but also to share Carrie with you. So, precious, wonderful, amazing Carrie, thank you for being here on the Uplifters.
Thank you so much. Thank you for including me in this amazing mission of sharing wisdom and sharing how we get through the muck to uplift other women and people. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I feel like no matter how high we rise, we find muck to fall into. And I actually think that's a really valuable piece of your work. So before we talk about the work, let's just talk about the genesis.
I have been a lifetime student of why people get stuck.
Same.
And specifically in relationships. I didn't understand why people couldn't love each other. Like, what's in the way? We fall in love real easy with friends.
Some of us.
True, but it's navigating when things get hard. Why do we give up or blame someone else? Or what gets in the way of living a love-filled life in your personal life, in your love life, in your work life? My first career was HR, and I thought, ooh, people, I'm going to figure it out. And I was just shown a poo-poo platter of all the ways it could go wrong. And I didn't have any solution. So I kept trying to look in different places, places where other people maybe weren't looking. I mean, who's looking at ancient Chinese five elements wisdom to solve HR issues? I'm a little bit weirdo-ish like that, finding like, maybe this will work there. So that's kind of how I got here.
So you saw a big problem. And you didn't see an obvious solution. So you got curious and started looking around different corners to see if maybe there was an answer out there.
I'm not one to accept what your teacher tells you is true, right? I was always like, are you sure that's right? Whereas, you know, I was in a classroom usually filled with kids taking furious notes, color coding, and studying to regurgitate the content and get straight A's. I was okay. I'd get decent grades, but I was a challenger of the status quo, which didn't make me that popular.
With teachers, presumably.
With teachers.
And I have one of those. I actually have two of those children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah. So I didn't want to accept, I mean, even to the point of why is our medical model, why do we just take it? Why can't I challenge that? And so I looked outside of what was accepted and loved what I found. The Chinese perspective, the Ayurvedic perspective, Eastern models of how do we change behavior? How do we improve they're based in nature, they're based in balance, they're based in systems thinking. It's not reductionist. In the Western model, we reduce things to their tiniest piece and then cut it out or medicate it, which is really important in many situations. I just felt like there needed to be something more, because what happens when we have those subtle problems that eat away at us for years?
I often think about those through the lens of chronic versus acute.
Yeah. I was looking for solutions for subtler problems. Like I know if I have a sore throat or if I have an infection, I know I can go to my doctor. I know how to take care of that. Yeah.
A symptom.
But how do I take care of this underlying muck where I'm uncomfortable asking my boss for a raise, or I'm uncomfortable standing up for myself in a difficult situation, or I have anxiety and I'm embarrassed to talk about it, or my therapist just isn't giving me tools and skills or a script that I can practice to get better at something. I don't want to dive deep into my childhood. I was just feeling like there, what was out there wasn't what was going to help me. And so I was looking for something else, and I really found it.
How did you know this was different than what you'd been looking at?
The Chinese medicine five elements perspective is about creating a strong immune system. It's proactive. It's getting out in front of things that might happen to strengthen your core, so that when the wind knocks you over and, you know, boss yells at you or whatever relationship goes sideways, you're not taking it personally and thrown completely out of whack. You're able to hold yourself still and stay in the nuance and not believe every first impulse that comes into your mind and let that take you for a ride. It's like, oh, I know how to sit still and notice that things are moving in an uncomfortable way. It's like something I'm watching happen, and I can distance myself and make a really high conscious choice for how to engage in a way that prevents me from the ripple effect that I could create if I have a big old impulsive reaction to that. So it's establishing a mental and physical immune system, because storms are going to happen. It's going to rain. Newsflash.
What? I should carry an umbrella all the time. Yeah,
that's a good metaphor. Five archetypes is your insurance umbrella, so you don't get wet. Right.
Or less wet. Right. Introduce us to the five archetypes so that we understand what these really are and how they work.
The five archetypes correspond to the five elements in Chinese medicine, different forces that we all have that help us thrive in the face of change, our adaptive strengths. It's they correspond to our organs. They correspond to things that we like, things that we avoid, things that trigger us, to our purpose in life, to our spiritual abilities, to our cognitive abilities. It's a whole body, mind, spirit system. It's a system that defines how these energies flow in order for a system to work. And a system could be my human body, a relationship with a loved one or a friend, a leadership team, an entire company, an entire town, a whole cosmos, anything that needs to do something well so everything flows properly. We have a questionnaire that can measure the amount of these five elements in your nature. When I see the amount that each person has in their nature and the relationship among the five, it's a diagnostic and a solution in one. So if the system that you want to work well is, hey, I want a good morning routine so that I wake up and I function well, I could look at someone's elements and say, oh, here's why you're resisting a morning routine, and here's your solution. So it's not a personality system at all. It's like a blood test that says your blood shows that you're at risk for dry skin if you do nothing. So you'll itch a little bit. If you want to do something, here's a great moisturizer that's really good for your skin type.
Tell us what the five archetypes are so we can start to visualize these.
The five are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. They correspond to nature. We all have all five. We're born with one that's primary, that defines what we're really good at helping others do, but also defines what we're at risk for overbelieving when we get stressed out, and then overusing it to the exclusion of the other four, which means that not only do we hurt our own selves when we get over addicted to one way of dealing with stress, but ripples out into our relationships, whereas everyone else who has those other primaries feels unseen, unrespected, undignified, unappreciated, because we're so overvaluing just one way of seeing the world.
One of the things I love is that you highlight, yes, what it looks like at its best, but also what it looks like when you're stressed. And one of the things I talk a lot about is how stress reduces our creativity and it narrows our perspective. The more stress we are under, the more microscopic our perspective becomes. We just see through our own little tiny lens. And the less stress we are under, the more expansive we are able to see things, the more different perspectives we are able to consider, leading us to be able to make the right decision for the moment instead of just our narrow, fixed way of looking at things that is perhaps most aligned with our tendencies. But then you take it a step further and you say, this is what other people who have other perspectives might think of you when you're stressed.
Yeah.
I found that so interesting. It was a little confronting.
Yeah.
I was like, ick, but also eye-opening. So why did that feel really vital to surface?
One thing is, just to circle back to the ick of it, is humans can't tolerate discomfort well. Like, we try to avoid ick when ick is really kind of like, oh, that's an invitation to realize, what am I creating in the world when I'm going into my comfort zone? So I think that it's really important for people to know, like, if I, in this moment, when I feel wonky, make this choice, I'm also choosing to create this ripple effect out into my family, into my spouse, to my leadership team, to my support staff, to my clients. They're going to have to now manage my wonky fire element, which to me feels really good. But am I going to value my, I should never have to feel uncomfortable over, hey, I'm going to tolerate my illusion, my temporary illusion of discomfort for a moment while I open my aperture, like you said, allow the stress so that I can see the bigger picture and have more empathy for the world I'm about to create if I shoot my, you know, fire in a way that's going to make everyone have to now manage my the fire that makes them feel like she's laughing too much.
This is too much. That example specifically is something that I hear so often from uplifters in terms of limiting beliefs, this idea of she's too big, she's too much. For a vast majority of the women who've been on this show, that inner critic has come up as something that held them back and that had to be reconsidered in order to move forward and do big, brave things. So do you see that too muchness is specific to an element, or is it something we all hear kind of in different ways?
Well, each element has a unique and very specific way they can get too much. I love this whole idea of having the conversation about, I'm holding myself back, I'm over accommodating so that no one feels uncomfortable. And so the point is not to hide or change who you are, but to use the wisest, most powerful parts of yourself instead of thinking you need to over entertain, over push, over accommodate, over perfect, or over isolate. Those are the five ways we overdo it. It feels comfortable to the ego. So we do it and then we say, you better like me each element can be powerful when it also makes friends with the water within us. And water in like 90%+ of people is their lowest element.
Interesting.
So we think that power comes from getting louder, bigger, more pushy, but really power comes from the water within us to find the deep will to get still and wait and pause and listen and observe and make a wiser choice based on gathering content. And by being the person who creates the conditions for everyone in the room to rise and feel cared for by you, rather than coming in the old way, or on a patriarchy, like the old way of power that is not working anymore, is like, you know, the guy in the suit who's in charge and he's delegating and he's pointing fingers, and you know, there's this image of that being powerful, and then women saying, well, I need to be powerful, so I have to do that. It's not real power.
Mm-hmm. It's positional power, as Amy Cuddy would say, not personal power. I feel like we need to get a handle on what each of these elements looks like. Give us just a bit of a primer on fire, earth, metal, water, wood, what defines each one and what it looks like in a person.
Yeah. Fire corresponds to the heart.
Okay.
And it's the part of us that gives joy and hope and optimism and has intuitive abilities and loves eye contact and smiles and warmth and connection. Then you have earth. Earth is our stomach and our spleen. It's food and digestion. And earth is the part of us that knows how to have empathy, knows how to know what other people need and to give it to them because we care, because we want to support and create unity. Then you have metal. Metal corresponds to the lungs. And metal is the part of us that has gratitude and forgiveness and can design with details and knows very easily what's valuable and what's not, so that we don't waste our time on things that aren't valuable. Then we have water. Water corresponds to the kidneys and the bladder. At its physical foundational point, it's about good sleep and it's about staying hydrated, but it's also about peace and deep meaning and truth and wisdom and understanding metaphor and poetry, not having to jump to a conclusion, but thinking through things. Then you have wood. Wood corresponds to the liver and to physical activity and movement and exercise. But wood is freedom from the perceived obstacles in our minds, thoughts that keep us stuck, imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Things like wood is momentum, it's delegation, it's vision, it's a plan, it's a goal. So as you can see, we need all of our organs. We have all of them, hopefully. But we tend to over-index into one, thinking that keeps us safe. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we draw all the energy out of the others. We get myopic. Mm-hmm. And we can't see through all the perspectives.
Yeah, and we can't appreciate the perspectives of others. I wrote about attunement in my newsletter this week, and this idea that the strongest energy will influence all the others. Is that aligned with a...
Well, it kind of depends on the context,
okay,
of the group. Usually, the leader of the group has the responsibility to be the loudest voice. Just if you take out like all the elements, like it has to be, because that leader is responsible for revenue, production, like all the things. Assuming we're talking about a company
or a family.
Or yeah, totally.
Or a neighborhood. Yeah, there's always going to be a leader. Yeah.
One example that meets what you're talking about is wood primaries tend to go into entrepreneurial efforts because wood is a risk taker. It's all about movement. It's all about face everything. It's momentum. It's delegation. It's like, I can see how this is going to make money and let's do it fast. They hire people who don't necessarily have wood as their primary because that could be a competition. Because then there's going to be, so they hire people who love to support them. So earthy people, perhaps metal people who design structures to make the new idea work. And what can happen in those cases is wood, when things don't go their way, or things slow, get slowed down for some reason, what is at risk for showing anger? That's their emotion in response to a trigger of slowing down. So what does that do to the other elements? The other elements, they usually have lower wood. They can't tolerate anger very easily, and they shut down to telling you the truth. And wood just wants to tell me, guys, what did we do wrong? Where did we fail? And they love that. But everyone else is like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to figure out a way to sugarcoat it. So that's one way where like wood energy will overpower and keep people from telling you the truth because they're scared to be yelled at. Not that it has to stay that way, but once you know it, right? Five archetypes is a diagnostics and a solution instantly. So it's not like, oh, we're stuck this way. It's like, oh, now that we know exactly how to avoid it. So it never happens again.
It sort of merges these ideas of positional power, the Amy Cuddy work, with the psychological principle of attunement. There are going to be drivers. There are going to be people who are energy leaders, maybe are more sure-footed or more naturally authoritative. And
wood will do that. Fire wants you to be happy. Earth wants to support you. So they don't want to be the leader. Like they prefer to be quiet team players. Metal also doesn't always want to be like the loud person who everyone's listening to. And water prefers anonymity, mysteriousness. You can tell if you see someone who has high wood, they love to delegate.
Right.
They're not afraid of it.
You've seen thousands of these assessments. Do you feel like you just automatically, when you see people, you're like, bang, bang, bang?
Sometimes, and I'm not always right. Because what's interesting is the primary is just one piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the relationship among all five within someone. So it's almost as much as, if not more poignant, to notice what the lowest is, where the person is like has the greatest opportunity for coming back into their best selves.
Mm.
But I could sometimes see, like, I would guess you were fire because of your smile. Fire people have they don't know how to not smile.
No, I don't.
Right?
My daughter asked me yesterday, she was like, do you have resting bitch face? I was like, no, I have whatever the opposite is.
Right.
Yeah. I have resting crazy face.
Yeah. All fire. We have no idea how not to smile. And so I've had someone ask me, talking about a difficult subject, why are you smiling? This is not a funny topic. I'm like, I can't. I don't know about it.
My primary is fire. And then when I looked at that framework you provide where you say, when you're at your best, when you're stressed, and what others think of fire, it was so interesting to me how many of my limiting beliefs were played back in that. So what it said is that wood says too silly to get things done. That is like my biggest fear. And I think about like the feedback others have said that has most gotten in the way of my own authentic energy and growth. It is a fear, a belief that I'm perceived as being silly or unserious. Earth said it was too show-offy. That's the other one. I don't know that the other two were so big, like insulting to their... Those were real limiting beliefs that I really had to work through over the past few years. So I found it really interesting to see those listed there and what they meant to me.
So what's interesting is each of those elements only believes that about fire when those elements themselves are stressed out or feeling insecure. So we go into judgment and criticism of others when we feel insecure.
Cool.
When we feel grounded, we see the beauty.
Yeah.
And we have compassion, like, oh, Carrie's smiling because she feels a little bit uncomfortable. What can I adjust in myself to create the conditions for her to feel safe right now? One of the ways we go into limiting beliefs or imposter syndrome is when we personalize the limiting perceptions of other people. Those are only distortions of the truth. Because the truth is, you're freaking rock star. Like, there is no other truth.
Thanks, so are you.
Right? We all are these, like, I mean, dude,
amazing.
We're here.
Yeah.
We're making it happen every day. Every one of us is a rock star. If anyone goes into judgment or criticism about anyone else ever, that's a reflection of their own distortion of reality. Mm-hmm. And so if we take that to mean any truth, we're feeding that dynamic and creating more pain for them, more pain for us. The one way to shift it instantly and completely is to let go of believing that someone else's distortion has anything to do with us. And you,
that's hard. I mean, I think it's deeply ingrained for most of it. One of the things I ask clients all the time when I'm coaching them, when I hear these limiting beliefs crop up or this fear of other people's opinions, I'm like, who are we actually talking about here? Whose face are you seeing? Whose voice are you hearing? Who's in charge? That stuff is so unconscious that our awareness to everything you're saying is so low that we can't change it. And so that's why it's hard for us, because we see it as truth, not as a perspective.
We've been conditioned to believe it's true.
Yeah.
Because we talk.
And we've conditioned ourselves to believe it's true.
Yeah. And we even talk about it like as if it needs to be talked about. And when it really is a very predictable distortion of your primary archetype. So much so, it's been written in texts for 5,000 years that predicts this entire belief pattern. So like, if every fire person has the same spiral, every earth, every metal, water, wood, same exact belief, trigger, process that happens in the body, and actions that we take as a result of believing it, the ripple effect of those choices out into every other element, it's precisely predictable. And it's always right. It's, you wouldn't say like, maybe tomorrow the sun will be a tree. We're like, no, it won't. Like,
it's going to be a tree.
It's that predictable. So much so that like, yeah, like I can take assessment or questionnaire results from a team of thousands of people and know exactly how they're all going to react to a certain message and how to, you know, teach each of them how, you know, what to look out for, how to shift, what to do to get out in front of any of the ripple effect of us believing a distortion. So like fire is at risk for believing other people need to be joyous. The second we believe that, we go into believing all the stuff.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's joy is how I would label it. So check me on this. I feel like for me, it's other people need to be okay.
Yeah. It's similar. Like We can't tolerate other people's like,
I like, don't even need to take it to joy. I just need everybody to be okay. And if they're not, I either have to get myself out of the situation and go regroup, or accept that I'm going to lose my mind in all sorts of weird ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So from that nugget,
this is why I probably can't host Christmas again. My father-in-law listens to this, so he now knows.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's hard. It's like an unrealistic standard, right? And then we set ourselves up if we're not aware. But I love this idea here that this stuff is super predictable. It's not rocket science. You don't have to work so hard. Just learn this stuff and learn how to be realistic and honest with yourself about what's going on.
Yeah. The homework I usually give people is, now that you know your distorted thought, you and I share fire. So our distorted thought is like, if everyone needs to be okay, that's a distortion. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone needs to feel what they need to feel and go through their own process of healing. And like, you need to feel the crap. You need to like experience that, or you can't embody growth. Mm. We can't prevent people from having sad and having anger. Like, it's there for a reason, to help us like really feel the crap so that we learn not to repeat it. Mm-hmm. Like Earth, where they get stuck is they overtake care of everybody. And so what they're at risk for doing is getting annoyed that other people don't sympathize with the fact that they take care of everything for everybody all the time. And then they go into their loop. That's not our problem.
Right.
Like you and I both have second Earth, so we can kind of feel that, but that's not our primary problem. you know, metal gets stuck in grief, grieving what used to be. How come it's not the same way? Water gets stuck in fear and paranoia, and wood gets stuck in other people have made me feel anger. All of that is distortion. If you can catch yourself at that immediate space, you prevent all those effects of the spin out inside your own body and in all your relationships with people who now have to deal with the fact that, like, oh my God,
she's in it. What a beautiful medicine to give ourselves. The first step is really awareness.
Yeah.
What do we do when we start to gain that awareness?
So as soon as you recognize the very specific thing you will think when you're starting to go into the distortion, the first thing to do is slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So recovery starts with slowing down. Like, we speed up because we want to fix it. We want to quickly not have to feel that stuff.
And it's an automated pattern, so it can speed up because we've done it a billion times.
Yeah. Each element has a very specific coping mechanism that speeds up the slowdown, that helps you slow down faster. I love that.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you explained it to me.
You and I, we slow down through Earth. Earth is go get something to eat and go talk to someone who always has your back. Because our biggest fears as fire revolve around loss of love and loss of connection. So connect with someone who you know is always there for you. Just talk it out. Go help someone else who needs help. That's a fire coping mechanism. But that doesn't help wood, doesn't help water, doesn't help metal or earth.
What?
Not at all.
What helps me doesn't help everybody else, because those things obviously sound completely universal right now to me as a fire. I'm like, yeah, exactly. But what that tells me is, as people are listening to this, if you are not with Carrie and I and having primary fire and smiling your face off weirdly all the time, maybe these examples won't have you like breaking your neck nodding, but go look, because as you're saying that, those feel so true for me. And so I hope people will hear this and go look at their elements and try to understand what some of these tendencies, these ancient truths might tell them about the other elements. Because I don't even like know what those other ones might be. Frankly, these sound so true.
Yeah, you know, when we get frustrated, we think we need to fix the problem that we believe is happening.
Mm-hmm.
He's ignoring me. She's not da-da-da. Like, whatever the problem is, we rush into, how am I going to fix that problem? So back to your whole like myopic perspective. Yeah. We only believe that's a problem because we're in a distorted state. If we give it more energy, we're like, we're investing in vapor and creating sickness and inflammation.
We're making it truer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we go back to like, hold on, let me not create a story about this. Let me like spread out, slow down so I can get to the nuance behind all of this. Then you realize like, oh, I didn't eat breakfast. I'm taking everything personally. She's going through a hard time. Of course, she's going to insult my earrings. Whatever. And then you don't chase the symptom that we created to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And we can spend more of our energy in giving love, in creating the conditions for everyone to feel safe and loved around us and seen and dignified, and think more about, how can I create more diversity in this team, in this idea? How can I draw in some wood energy or some metal energy to make sure that everyone here feels like they own a piece of this?
Yeah. More collaboration and less conflict. As my fellow fire, there have to be things that scare the crap out of you and make this hard. And so I'm curious how you take care of yourself. And it may be very fire specific, but how you take care of yourself to empower, embolden yourself to keep doing these big, brave things.
I live in the woods. I surround myself with trees. I spend a lot of time in nature. I studied Ayurveda because I was hoping that there would be a direct connection between Chinese elements and Ayurvedic elements. It wasn't, but I loved studying Ayurveda. And one of the things my teacher told me was spending time in nature reminds each and every one of your cells that everything unfolds naturally in a very specific, predetermined way, as it should in its own time. You're not going to go yell at a peach tree in February that it ain't producing fruit. You're going to be like, it's going to come in August, whenever the harvest.
And it's doing the things it does then to make the fruit later.
Yeah. So it's kind of like physically putting myself more in nature has a quiet way of reminding my mind to let go of my perceived timeline on how quickly things have to happen or what's right. And it gives me access on a cellular level without having to be cognitively figuring it out. It reminds my soul that everything in its own time. I'm making good choices with the information I have in every moment, and every day I'm learning, and every day it gets broader, and I'm doing it with heart.
That's beautiful. And it's so interesting to me too, this idea of living in nature, because I just moved out of the city where actually I was lucky and I had trees in my view, but I just had this weird maybe obsession with seeing what would happen if I stared at water for 8 hours a day while working, which is what I do now. And it was a bit of a fixation that I was like, I have to do this. And it went from vision board to reality in front of me over the course of very long. It was like a 6-month transition where I was like, yeah, I need to see what happens. And that's literally the phrase I kept saying. It was like, I just want to know what happens if I stare at water for 8 hours a day. So I'm like, going to stay curious on that one.
I love it.
So as uplifters, what we love more than anything for our element, the uplifter element, is to lift others up. My mission in life is to amplify the stories of inspiring women so that we can all learn together how to do bigger, braver things. And so what I'd like to know, and what I think we'd all like to know, is how we can help you and lift you and your work up in support of your mission.
Okay, I'm going to cry for a second because that's really beautiful. And I don't always get asked that. As a fire person, I'm always like, how can I bring you joy? How can I? Yeah. So if I were to answer that question, I would say, take the 5 archetypes questionnaire, learn about yourself, learn about your distorted state, start to notice it, and then share it with someone else. Share the questionnaire, give someone else that gift. The questionnaire is free. Learning what your distortion is free. Your capacity to catch yourself, it's all on you. You don't have to pay me a cent. Like one person taking the questionnaire and not following their habituated, there's something wrong with me cycle, establishes the potential in endless people and situations to rise up and see the best in themselves and others. Think about all the stuff you're eliminating from reality. You're taking out someone having to figuring out, how do I deal with that? And then in turn, questioning themselves and feeling bad about themselves. I would love to see everybody balancing themselves and sharing it with others so that we wake up, you know, a couple of days and we have a world of unconditional love. I mean, yeah.
Sign me up. Inching forward, right? Like, and I think that's the beauty of this is that we don't have to fix the world and we don't have to change everything. But the more aware we can become, the more space we can create to create a more loving, collaborative, creative world.
Yeah.
I adore you. Do fires just want to surround themselves with fires? Yeah. I'm like, more please.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful to meet you. I'm so inspired by your work. Let's all take the assessment and meet up and talk about it and learn from each other and do our part to make the world a better place.
I'm in. I'm here.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life. And then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters, and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like,
"Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."